We talk about different areas of our lives as far as how we comfort people. And some of the areas that I wrote down, and there are many, many, many more, but one of them is we comfort our families. We try to comfort friends. We try to comfort neighbors. People that we don't even know, we try to comfort. The Bible tells us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We comfort our own animals sometimes more than we do people. Why is that? Why is that that we find, I'm getting eyed at a little when she says, I don't know what it is, but he's big. I was looking in some of the songbooks, and I was thinking about all the songs that we sing on a daily basis when we come to church or we have in our mind, and some of the songs that bring comfort from the Lord. It says, where could I go but to the Lord? The Comforter has come. That's one of them that we just sung. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Listen to these words and try to apply them to your hearts and to your lives on a daily basis. The Comforter. And we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the message on the verses that it talks about the Comforter. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Sweet peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. God will take care of you in every way or all the way. He takes care of us. But we have to let him. He leadeth me. I like the song, In the Garden. In the Garden, he comes. Jesus never fails. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Near to the heart of God. We need to be near to the heart of God. He wants to be near us. No, never alone. Amen? No, never alone. You're never alone. The Lord is always with you. And this one here happens with many of us until the storm passes over. He's with us. He not only is with us, he carries us through. I like this little poem, and I use it quite often at funerals where the footprints in the sand, where you've gone through some of the hardest times in your life. And Lord, there was two footprints up to the hardest time in my life. And then there was only one. What happened? Why weren't you with me? And to think back and look. And the Lord told the person, he says, look at the footprints. Do you notice they're deeper in the sand? That was when I carried you. He's with us. He carries us. He takes care of us. Under his wings is another one. There's just so many. That was just a few that I had, that I had gone through and looked at. And I looked at the words today that we're talking about. It's comfort one another. You know, we do comfort one another, or we should. And I just wanted to look at a couple of different things. I looked at the word comfort. And not only does the word comfort come to mind, but how about exhort? How about to lift up? How about to listen? You know, that's one thing we have a real, real problem with in this world today is we don't listen. We run our mouths so fast that we don't care what other people think. And we need to be good listeners. When you have a friend, neighbor, friend, family member, you know, sometimes you don't have to, sometimes talking is not good. You need to just sit by them. As Job, he had his friends sit alongside him, and they should have just been quiet. You know, they were there to help him, but they're talking about all these different things. Well, what did you do wrong? Or curse God and die. But they should have just stayed there and been his friend in time of need. And that's many times we have people and we have friends that are in that same position that just need someone to draw up close and sit by them. And maybe you just say, I'm praying for you. And then pray for them. It'll help you too also. But we have areas in our lives as far as comfort, lifting up, exhort, and listen. Other areas of comfort that we need to continually look at and have it be a part of ours. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 tells us, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to exhort one another. We need to lift up each other. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, tells us, it says, the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and changed as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such these little children in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones shall believe in me. It is better that for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. I'll tell you what, if it's important to God, it's important to me, and these little children are important. When we look at little kids today and little ones that if we don't help them, they don't have any help. We need to be able to comfort them and sit alongside of them. I see so many kids today that, in fact, we have a number of them that we're praying for, situations and kids and family members that we're praying for. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. We comfort them when we have them, and when we don't have them around, we pray for them, that maybe the Lord would find some way of changing their minds, changing their attitudes, changing their positions in life before it is, what does the verse say? Before it's too late, to the deceitfulness and the hardening of the heart. Comfort one another with these. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven there are angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye of a man having 100 sheep and one of them gone astray? Doth not he leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that one that has gone astray? And if he hath found it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And the last verse says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, but one of these little ones should perish. So the 99, he has them in the fold, but he will leave all of them to go find the one that has gone astray. And you know, many times we have those that go astray. Are you praying for them? Are you telling them? Are you dropping them a little note saying, praying for you? Are you calling them on the phone? The biggest thing today is text. All you have to do is text them and say, I love you. My son is 40 years old. I never hang up on him without telling him that I love him. Because I never know when it might be the last. Do you? Do you? Family members. I called up Dottie the other day and I said, it's the middle of the day. I said, hey, how about lunch? What'd you do? I said, you know, I was just thinking we ought to stop and have lunch. I'll stop by and pick you up. So we went and we had lunch. But I remember not too many years ago, my dad went home, had lunch with my mother. Went flying that afternoon, and we never saw him again. You never know. Comfort one another. Be there. Be instant what? In season and out of season. Where are you in your life? Do you comfort one another? Or sometimes do we just fly off the handle, or we don't even say anything? We lose so many opportunities to comfort one another and to help people. And this is not what we're here for. I've been told many, many times, I've been here for, I think, 21 or 22 years, but this church has always been known as a church that is very, very friendly. And, you know, that's what they all need to be. I mean, if you can't come into the house of God and feel like you're wanted and you're needed, the Lord needs you because you are His foot. You're His feet to go out and tell people about the Lord. You're His mouthpiece. You're His ears to listen in areas that we need to address and to look at. And if you have a friend, you listen long enough, you're going to get openings to be able to talk to him about the Lord. That's what it's all about. I know I've said this before, but each and every one of us, we talk about comforting one another. But how many times, if we ever went to jail or we went before a judge, is there enough evidence against us that we would be found guilty as being a Christian? If that's not true, then we have areas in our lives, and we all have areas in our lives that need to be looked at and addressed and prayed about. And where's all the answers? Right here in the book. Comfort one another with these words. All that we need is in this book, from the front page to the back page. It's in the book. That's all we need. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfaction of his... How about I get in the right chapter? I thought, man, that just... I don't remember studying that one. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And I looked up that word stoop. I said, I don't understand that. It means to stop. It means to lean away and to not go towards. So let's read this again. Heaviness of the heart of man maketh it stop. Heaviness. When a person has so much weight on them that they can't go any farther, they just have to stop. But what does it say? It says, but a good word maketh it glad. You have those good words to those people that are down and out. I'll tell you what, when you go to the hospital and you see somebody laying in a bed and they're hurting or they're not doing well, that's a time where you don't have to say anything, but you can always read the 23rd Psalm if you don't know what to say, you know? That's a good one. Everybody knows it. They don't comprehend all that's in it. But it is so much for us today that it's always something that you can comfort somebody with it. But if you don't have to do anything but listen and to be there. The important thing is to be there. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, sometimes in many cases, you want to treat cancer, what do? They do bone marrow. Why? Because that's where it all starts. Life is in the bone, in the marrow. But what does it say here? It says, pleasant words are as sweet as the honeycomb. That's what we need to be giving people. Words of encouragement. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that need encouragement. There's a lot of politicians we need to be praying for, too, but don't get me on that. Don't get me started on that. My wife will say, oh, no, here we go. But, you know, we need to pray for those that are in leadership, from the president on down, because we need to understand something. The Lord puts kings, principalities and powers in power. And He can also take them down and out. We need to pray that the Lord's will would be done in America. And I know that His will is that everyone would be saved. We need that. So we need to pray in that direction and in that way. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, it says, and a word fitly spoken I like this one. This is a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the pitchers of silver. Purity. There to help. I kind of want to see that picture when I get to heaven. Did a couple of commentaries and looked at it, and they talked about, I don't know how they know what they know, but they said, being that this came out of the over in Israel in that area, that they're not talking about apples here, they're talking about oranges, because they don't have a whole lot of apples there, but they have the best oranges ever. So they got apples over there called oranges. I don't know. So, but it's purity. It's talking about gold. Talking about honey. There's nothing sweeter than honey. Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 through 18 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have the hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you have Him in your heart, then you have that hope and the security, the fact that you know that where you're going. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain into the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and in the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The last verse, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another.
You know, I'm sitting here. Man.
I know you guys don't like the glare off the top of my head, but it sure is easier reading the Bible. I thought, wow. Okay. All right. So we talk about comfort one another with these words. In John 14:16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give unto you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." John 14:26 tells us, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatso I have said unto you." He'll bring to us the remembrance of things we've studied, not study. I mean, if we haven't studied it, He's not going to bring them to our remembrance. But get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and the Word of God is cleansing. It will cleanse us. It will take care of us. It will lead us in the direction that we need to be going into. But we need to know that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. He left, and He knew that we needed a Comforter. So He sends a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be in us and to work through us. John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." So we have a Comforter. That Comforter is the one that tells you when you do something wrong inside, and you know you did. It's the Holy Spirit telling you, uh-oh. I see some people out there going, oh, praise the Lord. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 12, 25, it says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it." Oh, I just read that one. Proverbs chapter 16:24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, my Bible says, wherefore comfort one another. It is not only means of comfort, it is usually in the sense of the word, but also to instruct, to exhort one another, and to talk about these things. My friend, Jesus is going to take us to heaven, out of this world someday. He is the great comforter. What a glorious and wonderful comfort that is to us, especially those that believe in his name. The bodies of the dead will be lifted up. Then whosoever is alive at that time will be caught up together with the Lord in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have these different areas of comfort, exhortation, to be lifted up, and each and every one of us need to be doing that. We need also to be listening. And I've got a little saying here that I've always had, and it's just always has stayed with me. And it says, people don't care. Listen, if you don't get anything out of this, if people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And they know how much you care. They know if you take the time to sit down and to be with them in time of need, in time of trouble, in time where maybe you just need to sit there and listen. And that's what it's all about, to sit there and listen and to comfort. Each and every one of us knows how it feels to be comforted. But we never comfort others. We need to comfort others. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. What does the song say? God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Though days of toil, when hearts doth fall, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter whate'er be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary ones upon his breast. God will take care of you. What does it say in the 23rd Psalm? And I do want to read that because of the verses that I know we all know it, and you can say it with me. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He comforts us. Those are some of the greatest verses used almost in every funeral. But even the kids, that's one of the first ones that they learn. And it's important that we learn that he prepares the table before us. He walks before us. He leads us. He guides us. And he also sends, now that he has gone preparing a place for us, he also sent a comforter to be with us. They brought the little children unto him. And he said, forbid them not. Our greatest goal and our one desire as a parent, as a grandparent, should be to make sure that we teach our kids what they need to be saved, what they need to be serving the Lord. And the greatest thing that we can do is be an example. They will take examples from us, in every single thing they do and what they say. Amen? What they say, what they hear us say, they will say, and they will not think anything about it. So we need to be careful on what we say, how we say. We need to be instant in season and out of season with the Word of God. We need to be able to listen, to exhort, to help, to lift up, and to comfort. If you're not doing any of those, you need to, because I'll tell you right now, there's family members, there's friends you work with, there's people at every turn and every walk and every day that you come into contact with that not only need the Word of God, but they also need comfort, and they're looking for answers. This world is looking for answers, and I'm telling you right now, we have the answers that they need. And we need to be telling the people what they need to hear. Comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for so much that talks about being comforted, talks about the way we need to live, the way we need to be around other people. I pray, Lord, that if you bring someone by my pathway this week, Lord, that needs comforting, Lord, that I would not even think twice about giving them words of encouragement. And sometimes that's all it takes. Or maybe it takes sitting alongside of them and not talking, but listening. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the great comforter. I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide in our hearts, our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the pastor and bring him back this Wednesday. Lord, that he would be refreshed, excited, and anew. But Lord, be with each and every one of us. Be with Ben, that he would be comforted now as he's in the hospital. And each and every one of us, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. I pray, Lord, that we would look around and those that maybe are not here because they don't feel well this week, that we would give them a call. And say, you know, the Lord laid you on my heart and my mind, and I just thought I'd call and see if there's anything I can do for you. Bless as only you can as we observe the Lord's Supper. Lord, that we would be in a frame of mind, Lord, that we would be mindful of you in all that we do, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name.